I want to talk to you this evening about being born again. It's a phrase I suppose we're all familiar with. It's not so common now, but some years ago there were lots of posters and signs up in Ulster, even along country roads. You must be born again. The majority of people in America tell the pollsters that they have been born again. Sometimes it's used as a label to describe one kind of Christian as against other kinds of Christians. I'm a born again Christian, as if there could be any other kind. Sometimes we think it's someone who has had a very dramatic experience, sort of a Damascus road in their lives, when they're going along in one direction and then suddenly in a moment God stops them and turns them and changes them. And that has happened to some of us. Certainly, according to the Bible, to be born again is very, very important. We read earlier what our Lord Jesus said to a religious leader in John 3. "I tell you the truth," he said. And whenever Jesus said that, "truly, truly," he was saying, this is really important. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. In other words, Jesus says, you can't go to heaven unless you've been born again. He goes on to say, you must be born again. The question for each of us is, have I been born again? How can I know if I've been born again? Perhaps more importantly, if I haven't been born again, how could I be born again? Is such a thing possible? And I think we can get some help from a verse in the Bible which is often overlooked in this connection. And it's our text this evening. James chapter 1, verse 18. Let me read that verse again. It's speaking about God. And it says, he chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. This simple verse tells us three things about being born again. It answers questions that we may have. First of all, why are some people born again? Why are some people born again? The answer may seem surprising to some of us. James says, God chose to give us birth. Or as the ESV has, of his own will. We are born again because God decided that we would be born again. It's not because we wanted to be born again. That wasn't the ultimate reason. It's not that we decided that we were going to be born again. Say, I'm going to be born again, and from tomorrow morning, I will be a born again person. That's not the way it happens. It's not even ultimately because we turned away from our sin and believed in Jesus, although that, as we shall see, is vital. But that's not the ultimate reason why some people are born again. It's not even because someone preached or witnessed or prayed for us. It is, says James, because God chose to give us life. God chose to give us life. The Bible tells us that long, long ages ago, before this universe was even created, God decided that He was going to love certain individuals. He picked them out. The word the Bible uses, elected. He said, these people, I'm going to save them. I'm going to give them new life. I'm going to take them to heaven. He chose to give us birth. Paul says the same in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. In fact, it's even clearer. Paul writes, He chose us in Christ before the creation of the world. There it is. Later on, he says in the next verse, In love, He predestined us. He set our destiny in advance to be adopted as His sons through Jesus Christ. And here's the same idea that James stresses, in accordance with His pleasure and His will. Here's the reason. Why are some people born again? God's pleasure, God's will, God's decision, God's choice. God was not compelled to do it. There wasn't anything in us that could attract God's attention. There wasn't anything in us that would deserve that God should love us. He chose to do it. We don't know why. It's a mystery. Why God chooses some and not others. He hasn't told us that. Perhaps He will someday. Perhaps He never will. It's a mystery. And this is the reason why some are born again and not others. It's not in our hands at all. It's entirely in God's hands. Let me call to witness another apostle, John. In chapter 1, verse 13 of his gospel, he writes of children born, not of natural descent or of human decision, not of human decision, but born of God. And friends, when we think about it, it's logical, isn't it? Doesn't it fit in with the language that the Scripture uses? Doesn't it make perfect sense? What part does a baby play in being born? Absolutely none. Absolutely none. It's the decision, it's the activity of that baby's parents. And so it is with being born again. The reason is the will, the purpose, the decision of God. And for those of us who are already Christians, that puts our salvation, you see, on the firmest possible basis. Because it was God's idea in the first place. It was God's choice. It was God's decision. The only thing that can affect your salvation and mine is for God to change His mind. For God to say, I made a mistake. I shouldn't have chosen that person. And that will never happen. God is not a man that He should change His mind. And yet for any here this evening who aren't yet believers, surely this is a puzzling thing. Even an alarming thing. Perhaps you're saying to yourself, well, I've been told that I must be born again, and yet I've been told that I can't make it happen. That means that I am helpless. Can this be true? Yes, it is true. That is exactly true. You are helpless. You are helpless. You can't, you cannot, by doing anything, make yourself born again. And that truth is designed to be puzzling and frightening, because it's designed to send you straight to God. To bring you to realize, I need God to work in my life, and if God doesn't do it, I am lost. I need God to do something for me that I can never, ever do for myself, no matter how hard I try. That truth is to bring people who are not Christians to a sense of fear, of dread, even of despair. Your salvation is not in your hands. It is in God's hands. And if God doesn't work, you will never believe, and you will go to hell, and you will be there forever and forever to all eternity. And if you're to escape hell, you need a miracle from heaven. You need the great God to come and change you, to turn you round, and to make you a different person. Why are some people born again? He chose to give us birth. But that brings us to a second question. We've looked at the why. Now we come to the how. How are some people born again? How are some people born again? God uses means, instruments, tools, if you like. He works with these tools, and they are essential. It's like God giving a harvest. We know that God gives the harvest. We thank Him for the harvest. We thank Him for the food in our plates. We pray, God, send rain and sun and mature the grain. But what would you think of a farmer who said, well, God gives the harvest, so I have no responsibility. There's nothing I need to do. God works, but God uses means. And James here tells us the means God uses. He chose to give us birth, and here's the phrase, through the Word of Truth. The Word of Truth. The Word of Truth is simply first and foremost the Gospel. That's what Paul calls it. In Ephesians 1:3, he writes about the Word of Truth, the gospel of your salvation. Or Colossians 1:5, the word of truth, the gospel that has come to you. So the word of truth, the true word, is first of all the gospel message. And then it expands to take all of Scripture in. We've just been singing from Psalm 119, do not snatch the word of truth from my mouth. The psalmist means the whole Bible. Paul urges young Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:15 to be a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. The means God uses is His word, His true, reliable word, and especially the gospel of Christ, that message that tells us that we're sinners, that we're guilty before God, but that God has sent His Son Jesus Christ to earth, and that He lived a perfect life on this earth. And although He was innocent and holy, He was terribly punished on the cross at Calvary. And He was punished for sin, not His own sin, but the sin of the people He came to save. And the gospel tells us about this Jesus. And the gospel says to each of us, you must believe in this Jesus. You must turn away from your sins and put your trust in Christ. And it is through this gospel that God brings people to life. That God creates. This is how He created the world. Through His Word. We read in Genesis that God said, let there be light, and there was light. We were singing at the beginning of our service from Psalm 33. He did speak the word, and done it was without delay. And that's exactly how God makes us new creations in Christ. He speaks. He speaks to us in the gospel, the word of truth, and that makes us alive. As the gospel is heard by us, God does something in you, and you hear the gospel. You perhaps have heard it 100 times before, 1,000 times before, but this time, the first time, you really hear it. And you say to yourself, this means me. I'm lost. I'm guilty. I need to be saved. And Christ can save me. God enables you to hear the gospel. And God enables you to believe it. And although you've heard it many times before, now for the first time, you really believe it. You say, I am lost. I am going to hell. My sins have not been forgiven. I do need Christ as my Savior. And you respond to the gospel. You cry out to God. You say, God, save me. I'm lost. I need your help. I need your salvation. This is the means by which people are born again. I said a few moments ago that with regard to being born again, we are helpless. And in the ultimate sense, we are helpless. But that doesn't mean that there's nothing that you should do, or that there's nothing that you can do. There is. What is it? You have to expose yourself to the Word of God. If that's the means God uses, if that's the way people are born again, and you realize that you haven't been born again, that you need to be born again, and you can't do it yourself, then what you've got to do is expose yourself to the Word of God, to the Gospel. You've got to sit down and start reading the Gospel, thinking about it. You should go to places where you can hear it preached, where someone will explain it to you. There are dozens of excellent, good Christian books which explain the gospel in a very clear and interesting way. If you would like such a book, speak to me or to anyone here this evening, and we'll put you in touch with someone who will be delighted, I assure you, to provide a book for you. Let me take it a bit further. you're sitting here tonight and you know that you're not a Christian, and you would like to be a Christian, or you'd like to investigate it, you'd like to find out more about it, we can provide somebody who will sit down with you over a few weeks and explain to you in a very simple way how you can become a Christian. Somebody can come to your own house. Or you can meet here if you like. And have laid out before you, how do you come to Christ? Are you willing to do this? It's not difficult, is it? There's a wonderful promise in the Bible. The promise of Jesus Himself. Seek, and you will find. You will find. Everyone who seeks, finds. We're born again because God chooses to give us birth. But the means He uses, the way He does it, is through His Word. And that's what He calls us to do. And that's what I would call you to do this evening, if you've never done it before. Expose yourself to the Word of God. Open yourself, your mind, your thoughts, to the Word of God in one of these ways I've suggested. Take the first step this evening. There's one more question I want to look at before we finish. For what purpose are people born again? For what purpose are people born again? And again, the answer is fascinating. It's not, first of all, for our own happiness, our own well-being. It's for something far, far greater. James says, He chose to give us birth through the word of truth. And here's the purpose. It's a purpose word. In order that we might be a kind of first fruits of all He created. We don't talk much about first fruits today, but it was a very common expression in Bible times. And in the Old Testament, the first fruits were God's special property. Something set apart for Him. Something holy. We read in Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 3, that Israel was holy to God. The first fruits of His harvest. And these first fruits, since they were given to God, it was the best of the harvest. The best fruits of the finest quality, the freshest, the tastiest, the most flourishing, the most beautiful. And here, says James, is God's glorious purpose in giving us new birth. To remake us. To make us all over again into glorious, perfect, beautiful, amazing human beings. Far more wonderful than we could ever imagine. This is the age of what's called the makeover. There are all sorts of TV programs that promise makeovers. You can have your home made over, your garden made over, your career made over, your physical appearance, your body shape made over, changed. Here is the ultimate makeover of all time, to make us new people. different people. People like Christ. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth that we might be the first fruits. And there's a challenge here, isn't there? Only those who are becoming like Christ are born again. Because one of the scandals of our day is the number of people, and you have met them and so have I, who claim to be born again. But they show very little evidence of it in their daily lives. And that makes unbelievers scornful about the whole thing, and you can't blame them. And they say the church is full of hypocrites. And there are a lot of hypocrites in churches. James is saying here that if you're born again, you'll show it. You'll be different. If that's the purpose, then you will be like Christ. You will be a loving, pure, good person more and more. Not perfectly. Not perfectly. Yet. But day by day, changing into His image. 1st fruits had another meaning. It was a promise of the greater harvest still to come. That's why it was called the first fruits. It was saying there are going to be more fruits. These are just the first. This is the first installment. If you're sitting down to a meal and your hostess says, this is the first course, you think to yourself, good. There's a second course coming. And perhaps even a third. If she says, this is the meal, then hope dies within you. This is all you're getting. And these are the first fruits of all He created. Now, that there's a lot of meaning in that I haven't time to unpack this evening. But let me leave you with this. That Christians, people are born again, were designed to show a little bit of heaven to an unbelieving world. To show what God can do with a human being. To show what God is like. And perhaps as you sit here this evening, you know in your heart that you're not yet a Christian. But you know Christians. Perhaps there are Christians in your family. Perhaps you work beside a Christian every day. Perhaps they live next door. And you can see that they have something that you don't have. Do you not feel that you want it? What you see in them is Christ. That's the challenge for those of us who are Christ's. We are to be a kind of first fruits of all He created. We're to be appetizers for heaven. We're to make people long for Christ, to awaken in them a hunger and a thirst for Christ. Born again, because God chooses us, because God uses His gospel, His word, to bring us to faith, and so that we can be, in our own limited, imperfect way, examples, mirrors of Jesus to a needy world. Perhaps this is why God has brought you here this evening. Perhaps God has brought you because this is the time for you to be born again. This is the time for you to take Christ seriously and to seek Him. My dear friend, if that should happen, there's nothing more important happening in this whole world this evening. And if you were to be born again, that would be item one in the headlines in heaven. And I pray that by God's grace, that will happen. Amen.